Good morning. My name is Michael Hickox. I'm an evangelist with the Olney Church of Christ. We are a group of Christians who meet here in Olney at 220 North Van Street. We meet at 9:30 on Sunday mornings for Bible study, 10:20 on Sunday mornings for worship, 2 p.m. on Sunday afternoons for worship, and 7 p.m. on Wednesday evenings for Bible study. We welcome visitors if you would like to join us as we assemble together to worship God and to study from His Word. We also offer in-home Bible studies if you would be interested in studying from the inspired Word of God to learn more about Him and about His will for us. We would be happy to study with you. You can contact us at 217-218-0803. You can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is olneychurchofchrist.org. The website, again, is olneychurchofchrist.org. And the number is 217-218-0803. This morning in our program, we will notice some things that Scripture teaches about God's simple pattern for the church. If you would like to turn in your Bibles to Acts, the second chapter, this is the first passage we will look at this morning. Acts chapter 2. Here in this chapter, we read for the first time about Christ's apostles teaching His doctrine after His ascension into heaven. We read for the first time about people being told what they needed to do in order to get into Christ and become a Christian. And we see here that those individuals who were being spoken to, some of them responded to this teaching by making the choice to become a Christian. And notice as this was taking place, what is said in the last sentence of the chapter, Acts chapter 2, verse 47. I'll read the last sentence of that verse, and I'll be reading from the King James Version this morning. It says there, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." So notice here, as individuals were submitting to God's requirements for getting into Christ, for having their sins forgiven, as individuals submitted to this, we see that the Lord added them to the church. And as we begin thinking about God's simple pattern for the church, we want to begin by recognizing that individuals who submit to God's terms for getting into Christ are simply added by the Lord to His church. And I say His church because in Matthew the 16th chapter and in verse 18, Jesus made it clear that the church belongs to Him. He referenced their building His church. And so here in Acts 2:47, we don't read about individuals being added to a particular denomination or a particular sect. we see individuals being added by the Lord to His church. And we want to begin there as we think about God's simple pattern for the church by recognizing that when someone submits to God's terms for getting into Christ, he or she is then added by the Lord to His church. Now, as we get a little bit later on in the New Testament, we come to find that after being added by the Lord to His church, individuals would join themselves to a local church, and we then read about local churches existing. These local churches were made up of individuals who had been added by the Lord to His church and were then assembling together at a particular location to carry out the work that God gives to the church. And so there is a distinction made in Scripture between the universal church, which is all of those individuals who've been added by the Lord to His church by submitting to His terms for becoming a Christian. But then we also have the local church, which is Christians in a particular area coming together to carry out the work that God assigns the church. And so we do read in Scripture about the universal and local church, and it's important to distinguish between the two. But whether we're talking about the universal church or whether we're talking about the local church, we see a simple pattern given in Scripture pertaining to religious matters, pertaining to what we need to do, both as individual Christians and as a local church. There is a simple pattern given in Scripture for how we can please God. And I want to consider three specific points with you this morning about this simple pattern given by God for the church. And one point I want to consider is that God's simple pattern for the church involves simply submitting to Christ as our head. Notice what is said over in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, and I'll read verse 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, and this is speaking about Jesus here in this verse. It says, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." So notice here, as Jesus is being referred to, and we know that based upon the context, verse 13 references the Son of God, and verses 14 through 17 go on to talk about different things pertaining to Him. And so verse 18 is still talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and it references Him as being the head of the body. And it says here in this verse that the body is another term for the church. As we think about our physical bodies, we understand that our physical bodies all have different roles, but they all submit to the head. The head directs the rest of the body. And that analogy is used by God to represent the church. The church is made up of various members, and that's not various denominations, but rather it's various Christians throughout the entire world, all those individuals who have submitted to God's terms for getting into Christ are a part of this body, this church. And there are different things that we might be able to do as a part of this body in order to submit to God's will for us. But ultimately, all of us are to submit to Christ as our head. It's interesting as we think about this point to notice something said by the Apostle Paul over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'll read verse 13. But in the lead up to this verse, in verse 12 of the chapter, the inspired apostle mentions that there were divisions among the brethren at Corinth. And part of what was causing these divisions is that some individuals were saying they belonged to Paul. Some were saying they belonged to Apollos. Some were saying they belonged to Cephas or Peter. Notice in verse 13 what his response is to these divisions and specifically to this mindset of each individual claiming to belong to a certain man. Verse 13 asks the question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? So notice there in that verse, he first asks the question, is Christ divided? And we can understand that the answer to this question is no. Christ is not divided. And his followers are not to be divided either. But a specific reason that these individuals Paul was addressing were divided is because they were claiming to belong to different men. And one particular man some claimed to belong to was Paul himself. And so notice two follow-up questions that Paul asks here in this verse. He asks, was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? Now, we can understand that the answer to this question is no, Paul was not crucified for them. Christ was. And no, they were not baptized in the name of Paul. They were baptized in the name of Christ. But Paul asked these questions to help them see all of you are to be submitting to Christ. You're not to be submitting to Paul as your head or to Apollos as your head. Or to Peter as your head, all Christians are to submit to Christ as our head. He is our head in religious matters or in spiritual matters. He is the one who has divine authority to tell us what to do and what not to do concerning spiritual things. And that leads us into our next point as we think about God's simple pattern for the church. And that is understanding that God's simple pattern for the church involves simply following what we see taught in the New Testament as God's will. If you turn back to Acts, the second chapter, back in Acts, the second chapter, we looked at this passage a few minutes ago as we noticed the Lord adding individuals to his church. But I want to notice something that was set up in verse 42 of the chapter this time. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, after individuals were submitting to God's requirements for getting into Christ, it mentions there in verse 42 of the chapter, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, we might look at this verse and wonder if we are to simply submit to Christ as our head and simply submit to his doctrine rather than submitting to the doctrine of some fallible man. then why is it that Scripture teaches early Christians were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine? And this is a good question to ask, and looking to the biblical answer to this question helps us to understand how we can know what God's will is for us today. If you look over in Matthew, the 28th chapter, just before Jesus ascended back into heaven to be with the Father, he was speaking to his apostles here at the end of the chapter. And notice what he told them in verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Jesus there says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Notice that the apostles here were commanded by our Lord and Savior, teach people, he says, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so we learn from Scripture that the apostles' doctrine is Christ's doctrine. The apostles were simply teaching individuals what Christ taught them. And Christ sent them the Holy Spirit to directly inspire them, and thus ensure that what they were teaching was from Christ rather than from their own thoughts and opinions and ideas. And God confirmed for those listening to the apostles, God confirmed that what they were teaching was from God by giving them the ability to perform signs or miracles, as we see in Mark 16, 20. And so when the apostles went about teaching, they were not teaching things that came from their own thoughts and opinions and ideas. Rather, they were teaching the doctrine of Christ. They were directly inspired by the Holy Spirit to ensure that what they were teaching was truth, and God confirmed what these men are teaching is true by giving them the ability to perform miracles. But as we think about what this means for us today, we now have the complete written Word of God that's made available to us today. And so we don't have individuals today who are directly inspired by the Holy Spirit like the apostles were, and who are proving that by performing miracles like the apostles did. Instead, what we have today is the complete written word that we can look to in order to know what God's will is for us. And that's what God would have us to look to as our guide for the church. He would have us to look to what he's revealed for us in his word. And even more specifically, he would have us to look to what he's revealed for us in the New Testament. The Old Testament was written for our learning. It's inspired. We must study it and learn from it. But the New Testament contains the pattern that God has established for the church. And so we can look to the New Testament and we can see through commands, through approved examples, and through necessary inferences, we can see what God's will is for the church. Notice what is said over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I'll read verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. There it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Notice there in those two verses that first of all, Scripture, which is contained for us in what we refer to today as the Bible, the Scripture contained in the Bible is given by inspiration of God. The World English Bible has the phrase there, every Scripture is God-breathed. Men physically took pen to paper to write the things that are contained in the Bible. But what they wrote was inspired or literally breathed by God. And so what we have in the Bible is what God wants us to know in order for us to be right with Him. And verses 16 and 17 go on to point that out when it talks about the Word of God being profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It contains everything we need to know in order for us to be thoroughly furnished for every good work. The Bible contains everything we need to know in order for us to be right with God. And so, as we think about God's simple pattern for the church, we want to understand that it involves simply submitting to Christ as our head. And what that then implies is simply submitting to His Word, to the New Testament, which contains His will and His design for the church. If you look over in Matthew, the 15th chapter, in Matthew, the 15th chapter, we see a passage here where there were some individuals who were looking to their own opinions to establish doctrine. And notice what Jesus says about this in Matthew, the 15th chapter, and in verse 9. Jesus says there, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Jesus references some individuals here who were doing things that they were claiming was pleasing God. And they may have believed that this was pleasing God. But in reality, Jesus says these individuals were worshiping God in vain. And the reason for that is because they were teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And we are every bit as guilty of worshiping God in vain today if we teach for doctrines the commandments of men. God has given us in His Word everything we need to know to be right with Him. He does not desire us to appoint certain men or certain people to a council that is responsible for establishing doctrine and establishing creeds. There is nothing in His Word that indicates that that is His will for the church. Instead, He indicates something very different from that. He indicates that he simply wants us to submit to his pattern revealed for us in his word. And that leads us to one final point about God's simple pattern for the church. And that is that it involves simply being the pillar and ground of the truth. Mankind has come up with all kinds of ideas for what the church, and we're talking specifically here about what the church does as a collective body. Mankind has come up with all kinds of ideas for what the church is to be, for what the church's mission is. But we see in 1 Timothy 3:15 that God views the church as being the pillar and ground of the truth. That's what Christ built the church to be. That's what he designed the church to be, is simply the pillar and ground of the truth. And he gives us in his word everything we need to know in order to be that pillar and ground of the truth. He gives us everything we need to know in order to submit to his will for our lives as individual Christians, and in order to submit to his will for our lives as a church. And so as we think about God's simple pattern for the church, we want to recognize that in Scripture, we read about the Lord adding individuals to his church, not to any man-made group, not to any denomination or sect, but simply adding people to his church. And we read then that individuals who had been added by the Lord to his church, who were in close proximity to one another, would come together as a church to carry out the work God assigned to the church. And we see that how we can know what work God has assigned to the church is by looking to the New Testament pattern. And as we look to the New Testament pattern, we see that he wants the church not to be a social club, not to be an entertainment group, but simply to be the pillar and ground of the truth, submitting to his will for the organization and the work and the worship of the church. If you have any follow-up questions to this, if you'd like to know any more specifics, or you'd like to study further anything from the Word of God, we would be happy to study with you. Please feel free to contact us at 217-218-0803. And you can also contact us and learn more about us through our website, which is allneechurchofchrist.org. We will conclude our 30-minute lesson here this morning with a hymn from the Favorite Hymns Quartet. Thank you very much for listening, and have a wonderful day.